I'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of Two Men in a Bible Fighting the Cosmic Battle, and I'm going to kind of preface tonight's episode. You know, Bob, I grew up playing basketball, and it's kind of my favorite sport, and in kind of listening to preparation going on tonight, you know, when I was in high school, I was one of the big guys. When I went to college, I wasn't one of the big guys, and I really learned that when a big guy was trucking down the lane, there was sometimes just got out of the way.
Yeah, step aside and hack him.
Right,
don't
exactly.
Try to draw the charge.
So tonight I'm just going to kind of step aside and let you hack us.
Yeah,
you. I won't hack, but I may stick a hand in every now and then.
Okay.
But I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Bob Brandon, and we've got a special guest with us tonight who's been with us on, I think, three other podcasts already. Three or four?
Maybe four.
I think three or four. Yeah, four. It is four.
I think four.
And so I'd like everyone to welcome John to our studio. And with that being said, I'm going to kind of get out of the way and let you guys have at it.
You know what, Jamie? I'm going to do the same thing John has on his heart, some of the things he wants to say. I may do a little more hacking than you're doing. But so, John, tell us what's on your heart about heaven this week.
Well, it sounds like you guys set me up. I'm glad to know. I don't know if you're calling me LeBron James or Dwight Howard or
we see you coming up the middle.
Okay. Well, I hope
in a good way.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah. Again, you know, thanks for this opportunity and thank you for allowing us to keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good thing. We're going in the right direction and hopefully this is being helpful. And we're creating a library that is a good resource.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that people can draw on for a long time.
Absolutely.
You know, hopefully not too long. Hopefully the Lord will return and this will...
draw on it and share with others.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, essentially, the umbrella that covers the whole subject, one way to say it is you can't possibly know where you are right now unless you know where you're going.
Right.
And so heaven is a constant subject on our minds, and we're just trying to clarify those thoughts.
And, this week, since the last time we were together, my thoughts have gone toward the different way people have exited, you know, to eternity, in, I guess, blunt terms, have death has
sure.
happened. And one of the reasons is, you know, because a very close friend of mine, actually one of my first mentors, has been fighting a battle with cancer and, you know, succumbed to that tool, you know, during this week. But, you know, also we had the big uproar in Aurora,
mm-hmm.
you know, here in Colorado at the movie theater. So we've seen death caused by disaster. You know, by insane people, I guess, insane person. We've seen it happen through natural disasters, tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis this week in the Philippines. And then, you know, again, I was talking about death by disease. You know, these are some of the tools that are used by death. And, you know, I was talking about Stan, who was my first mentor. And it was, you know, we've been communicating with Stan on a very regular basis these last weeks. And this week, I got a text from my wife, Janet, at work. And it simply said, Stan is home. And so I knew immediately what Janet meant.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Stan had passed from this life into eternal life. And so, you know, one of the things I want to talk about this week is a term that we as Christians use to describe of, you know, entering into the eternal state, and that's going home. And it's something that's been used for a long, long time. But, you know, before we talk about that a little bit, you know, one of the things I want to focus on is in Job 14:5, the author says, "You, God, have set mankind so brief a span of life. Months is all you give him. No, not one bit longer may he live. And that's the Living Bible version of what's said in those scriptures. So, you know, this time on this earth is literally just months. You know, for some it's a few months, for some it's more months.
Sure, sure. And something I heard there, John, that I just want to kind of explore briefly is, it kind of sounded like you have a personification of death as you were describing it there, and you know, I think that most people do, you know, that death takes on a certain persona, you know, it has a certain, I don't want to say energy about it, but there's a certain feeling that you get when you hear that word. And you know, when you know, Bob and I started the podcast, and he really drove home the point of, you know, death equaling separation.
Right.
You know, then that persona took on a whole different picture to me. You know, I'd never seen it in that picture, that it is that separation that exists until, as you said, we're back home with them again.
Right. Absolutely. And that comes in different personifications, you know, the disease, the disaster, mm-hmm. the natural causes, you know.
Well, you see it in Revelation as the four horsemen,
yeah,
and so on.
So, you know, very clearly this week it was evident, you know, in my life, in relationships, and in the news, and mm-hmm. in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the interesting thing about all that, again, was Janet sending me a very short text, "Stay in his home," three words.
Mm-hmm.
And in that description, in that text, I understood exactly what had taken place. I understood exactly where Stan was. I understood exactly what Janet was trying to communicate to me.
Sure.
So, and I think that's interesting. You know, the early Christian slaves sang songs, you know, about going home to live with God. They sang about a chariot coming to carry me home. So, you know, it was a reality to them, and not only was it songs that they sang, but it was a desire of their heart. You know, they were ready to go home. Their existence here was not such a wonderful existence, and they saw going home as a wonderful thing. And so, right. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what this going home means, and how we use that as a description of heaven. You know, John 14, Jesus himself is talking, and he talks about going to prepare a place for us,
mm-hmm.
a home for us. So not only is it something that we talk about, but I believe it's something that our Lord talked about.
Well, and I think, you know, Bob, we this morning, you know, you shared this with us. You know, even and not to minimize what you're saying, John, but you know, the vision that I have is a kingdom. It's a whole, you know, and it is home because mm-hmm. it's a kingdom we live in forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of God.
Yeah, those concepts, you know, home as a concept fits within the concept of kingdom's
mm-hmm.
the broader
mm-hmm.
concept, but within that is a very specific idea that most people have in their hearts. Some may not, you know, some have led such difficult lives, but they can still, they know what you're talking about. They may not feel it the same way you do, but
sure.
We all have a concept of home,
yeah.
and what that means. So I think where John's headed is he wants to detail some of that out, with partially the emphasis being these aren't just words. It's a real place.
Right.
There's, you know, real smells, real sights. So I'll let John explain all that.
Well, no, and you guys are, you know, exactly on path because, you know, when we say the word home, that's going to generate different feelings, emotions,
right.
thoughts.
As there's a smell in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Mom's making something.
Tortillas.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for you, tortillas. For, you know, for Bob, maybe pizza. You know, for
right.
me, a turkey.
Amen.
Right?
You know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so, you know, and I don't want to minimize anybody's experience at home or, you know, what's going on in their homes. So I think, you know, the main thought is that home is about comfort, it's about friends, it's about family, you know, and hopefully, you know, for most, it's about a good experience, but not always. But, you know, the idea is what home is supposed to be. And I think deep within each of us that, you know, we have an understanding or a desire for what home should be. And I think, you know, home as a term for heaven shouldn't be simply a metaphor, because what it's describing is an actual physical place, you know, and it will have those qualities associated with it in the same, you know, as home does. But it'll have, it's a place that we're going to share with our loved ones, you know, our relatives, our close friends, our close acquaintances, people that we've never known, people that we've read about, and people that, you know, we've wanted to experience. It's a place with fond familiarities, you know, that we're something that we're familiar with. And we've talked about that in the past, that, you know, the resurrection of the earth. It's going to be something that we're not, you know, unfamiliar with, something that's confusing to us or frightening to us or overwhelming to us. It's going to be a place of comfort and refuge. There's going to be marvelous smells and tastes, fine food. There's going to be great conversations with great people and maybe not so great people. And, you know, it'd be a place of adventure. You know, I remember back when I was growing up, you know, home is a place where you learn to jump off a roof with a,
right.
You know, a sheep around you, or you learn to ride a bicycle, or learn to play a guitar, or,
sure.
You know, all those things. So I think, you know, when we talk of heaven as a home, it's the right thing to do.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, you know, one way a theologian looks at that is when we say, you know, it's not just a metaphor. Behind the reason any metaphor works is because there's a reality behind it. If I say, you know, Wilt Chamberlain was a tree, you know I'm saying he's tall. But the reason you know that is there is a real thing called a tree that is tall. So
right.
It's very easy to use heaven as a metaphor, but the reason it works is because there is a real heaven.
And home for that.
Right.
So, you know, I think that, you know, as we talk about heaven, as we think about heaven, that it's appropriate to think about it as our home. That's, you know, home is where you belong.
Right.
You know, that's where you always want to get to.
Well, I think, I mean, just what you said there, John, carries so much power and weight in my mind. You know, home is where you belong.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I couldn't have put it in better words. There's a purpose, a place, meaning. You know, everything that is associated with belonging is there.
Yeah, I have a kind of a funny example, but several Christmases ago, you know, we share Christmas with the kids, you know, and now they're kids, and so we rotate because there's other families involved, but. One Christmas we were at Brady's house, and this was, you know, that wasn't our home, but it was Brady's home. But my children were there, my grandchildren were there, you know, all my family was there. And, you know, we were there for a great time. But as one of my sons drove in with his only daughter at that time, she had norovirus. And so we didn't know that at that point she had norovirus, but we had just finished eating at one of our favorite places in Waco, Texas, and went out to the car, and she expelled all her food everywhere.
Oh.
And so, you know, we helped clean that up and went back to the house, and so we chalked that up to just being, you know, a baby with you know, maybe eating too much or eating the wrong things or whatever. But little did we know that next day it overtook all of us, and we all ended up with the throw-ups and everything that went along with that. So as much as I enjoyed being there with all my family, the only thing I wanted to do was get home.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
I wanted to get to my house, my bed, and be at home. And so, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. As close as that was to my home, and as wonderful as that was having everybody there that was important to me, still the only thing that brought me any comfort or signs of comfort was
home.
Yeah.
And getting
yeah.
home.
And how common is this feeling? You're out on the road for whatever reason, and how many times does it pass through your mind? I just want to sleep in my own bed.
Now.
You know? I just want to be home in my own bed,
yeah.
you know?
So, you know, I don't know if all this makes sense or
oh,
what
I'm
trying to...
it makes perfect sense.
You know,
yeah, you
absolutely.
Got it.
What I'm trying to say is, I think that desire, that longing should be alive in all of us. You know, because that is our home. You know, and if
and
we're,
that's our destination,
yeah.
you know, as well.
And
know,
if
permanent.
We're and if we're uncomfortable here, there's a reason we're uncomfortable here. You know, and if it's painful to be here, there's a reason for that, because we are going to be home at some point. And so, you know, in light of that, I don't think we should fear death. I don't think that we should be afraid of what death brings to us, because all that does is open the door of passage to home.
Absolutely. And you know, Bob, you know, my favorite saying that James has taught me is, you know, let's give our listeners, you know, more scripture to stand on. I know we've given them, you know, quite a bit, but you know, biblically, not just our opinions or our descriptions, but biblically, what, you know, what specific, you know, scriptures would you all recommend that, you know, our listeners look at and read that will reinforce this? Because I, you know, I don't know them off the top of my head, but I know that if I sat here and I gave it enough thought, I could find it.
Well, you know, the grandest of all is John 14. I mean, you can't do any better than that. I mean, if you want to wrap your arms around something, that whole chapter, just go read that. But, you know, Jesus understood that longing, that desire in our hearts, that hole in our hearts that can't be filled except by home. And, you know, and he's saying this, I know you so well as an individual that I am leaving this and I'm going to prepare for you a home.
Well, in addition to that, you know, a big chapter for me, and this is just mm-hmm. on a personal note. You know, people can pick their chapters as they see fit, but having been involved with athletics, I know it doesn't look like it, but at one point in my life, and then just having the Olympics, and I know John has that imagery in his mind as well, for me, a gigantic chapter is like Revelations chapter 4 and 5, the throne room of God.
That's,
I mean,
probably to me
when
as
I,
well.
When I think of home, that central throne room, you know, maybe I get some room way down the corridor, you know, down in the basement off in
you
the,
can hear
you,
them.
You know, in the maid's closet kind of thing. But I want to be in that throne room and just experiencing the Olympics as a viewer this summer. For me, there are so many images you could take from that, but to stand on that podium,
the gold, three.
Silver, bronze, and you're in the middle. You won the gold medal, and you stand there, and they play your national anthem, and the whole world's watching you. You know, for that moment, you're as high as you're going to get as far as what you could achieve in this life. And I always transport that into that throne room and imagine the difficult lives that many have led on account of the faith and the hand they've been dealt and so on, and those people that persevere through that and then stand
right,
you know, before God and all the redeemed, you know, down through the ages, and God points you out, you know, he's, even though there's this giant crowd, your focus is right on that throne, and God's looking at you, and he announces to the entirety of heaven that this person honored me. There's nothing else on life that could even compare to that moment when that happens. And John's got imagery in his mind also from the opening ceremonies of the Olympics and things like that, but when I think of heaven as home, for me it's that throne room where God sits in sovereignty over all things.
That's probably one of the most powerful visualizations that I've read is I would be in the same boat as you, Bob. You know, the description of the throne room and when Jesus walks up and takes the scroll.
To the universe.
And the water is like glass, and you know, and it really, you know, that was, I'll be honest with you, John, that was, when I came to faith, that itself, what you're describing, was very hard for me to come to grips with.
Right.
You know, I'd spent 40 years of my life not living there. And so it was really difficult, you know, because I didn't have the comprehension. I didn't realize, you know.
And I think, Jamie, you know, that's why we're doing this. I mean, that's why we're placing this out there for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, if we do anything with this, if we whet the appetite to challenge and get people interested in even thinking about this.
Explore,
you know.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Let me give another image. I've spoken this on a number of occasions, but I always just chuckle so deeply within my heart when I think about this, you know. Even as we wrote in the paper, you know, King Money runs this country,
right?
And he's got a consort that I don't want to discuss tonight. But you can't go through a grocery store without seeing the Powerball.
Yeah.
You know, and you're barely able to buy your groceries, you know, and you look over at this thing going, man.
That would be nice.
That would be. Okay, but let's play that out a little bit as far as what would happen in your heart. Say you won that thing. And, it, you know, it's up to 300 million. And, you know, there's tag. You know, your brain's going through all this. I probably won't get 300 million. You won't.
Right.
You know, you got to pay taxes. They're not going to give you all of that. There's going to be, oh, there was this. But you're going to come away with a gigantic chunk.
Yeah.
Right? So, but when you realize you have the winning numbers, that money's not in your bank account yet.
Oh, no.
But what would your attitude be
like? Oh,
say,
yeah,
say you're driving home. Say you're driving
the richest
home.
Guy in the world.
Yeah, and your car breaks down. I mean, wouldn't you just kind of laugh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you go?
I'll just buy a new car.
Yeah, I get, you know, a couple weeks from now, I'll just buy one. There is nothing that would really dent, you know, health, you know, of
sure,
a loved
sure.
one. But I mean, as far as, you know, the daily living, nothing would bother you because you know, in a couple weeks, you've got everything you could ever spend,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
sure.
Well, we got way more than the Powerball. And I'm not belittling the struggles that we go through. And I, as well as anybody, you know, get down. I get depressed, man. I'm struggling today. But this is in our bank.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to that house, and it's ours. You're not going to pay rent. And, you know, it's not, God's not a landlord, like you're paying rent to him, and it's your dad.
The mortgage has been paid.
You're going into his house, and you're going to have, you know, your rooms, and it's done. So the bumps on the road in the meantime are real bumps, but heaven is real also. And that puts those bumps in a perspective that you just have to get through life.
Well, and I love the way John's put in it, Bob, because it's that visualization. I mean, we've got to come to grips with it is a real place.
Yes.
And if it's a real place, and we need to visualize it, it's not a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. Yeah. It's
no, and it's, and you know the trump card for that, and then I want John to continue on with his notes and so on. But the trump card for all of this, the reason we can be dead certain this is real, is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Done. Then everything he said was vindicated. He believed this book was the word of God. No one's ever been to heaven, right? Except him.
Yep.
He has been there, and he's talked about it. It's a real place.
It is his home.
He's made the round trip.
Yeah, he has. You know, and I think one of the things we're trying to cause to happen here too is a reshaping of our mindsets.
Sure.
You know, how we think about all this. You know, and so as we read Job and it says, you know, a brief lifespan of months, that shouldn't frighten us. That should make us go, hey, I'm months away from my home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So instead of going, I fear death. I fear the tool of death. I fear what is in place for me. We go, no, you know, the good news is we are just months away from this.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Job is trying to say.
Yeah, and I hope I'm sprinting across that finish line.
Yeah.
Full speed?
Full speed. I don't want to be coasting in there. You know, let me break the tape, you know, and then you hold me, you know. But I want to sprint across that line.
Yeah, and so to give you kind of a clue how I think even further, you know, beyond this home deal, but, you know, as we talked about the Olympics and the gold medal, which we all will get and we'll all be pointed out, and the home that's there waiting for us, is as I watch the opening event, and I don't know how many people watched it, but I'm fascinated with what mankind can do. You know, I watched the rings of the Olympics come down into the stadium with the fireworks going off and the celebration that took place and the anthem and everything that went around it. And I can't help but think this is the kind of celebration we're going to see when we get home. You know?
Yeah. You know, we touched on this, John, and you remember this a little while ago. But heaven and coming home is often described in the scriptures as a wedding feast.
Yeah.
You know, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And when we think about dinners, perhaps we might have different perspectives on that as different individuals. But within the context of the ancient Near East, you know, if you had dinner with Pharaoh, or you had dinner with Nebuchadnezzar or Ashurbanipal or Solomon,
right,
or
deal,
David, that's not you went over and ate and went home. That's an all-night affair. I don't mean into the wee hours of the night, but I mean that's a huge production. And yes, there's food involved, and you are eating. I mean, that's the richness of fellowship. But there's entertainment, there's discussion. It's a gigantic production.
It is.
When you read in the Old Testament just what Solomon's household needed per day, that's because he's every night he's having over, you know, a decent portion of the kingdom is going over to his house to eat with him at night. All those kingdoms were like that. So home is not just you and him, though there is that intimacy. There is that privacy between every individual and God, but it's also a gigantic production.
This is going to be a huge production. You know, and I think we need to, another thing, you know, is we want to get over these dull stereotypes. They're out there.
Sure, yeah,
you know,
I see what you're saying.
And we want to bring to life the reality of what's going to take place. And, you know, come and go with me on three or four scriptures here. But, you know, Luke chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "Blessed are ye who weep now, for you'll laugh." We're going to laugh. I mean, you know, the weeping and the gnashing and the pain, that's meant for here because of sin. But we're going to laugh. You know,
what was the reference, John?
Luke chapter 6:21.
Okay.
You know, we're going to laugh. You know, there's going to be grand laughing. One of the greatest things I love right now is, you know, two of my granddaughters live here, and we get in our car or we get to their house and we just laugh. I mean, about nothing.
Right.
We literally, one of us will start laughing, and then the youngest will laugh, and then the other one will laugh, and then Janet laughs. And, you know, we'll literally laugh till we hurt. And I sit there and think, it's just a taste of you know, being home and what we're going to do. You know, we're just going to laugh. And I can't wait for that. I love nothing. What's one of the reasons I love being with my granddaughters is we just laugh.
Right.
And so, you know, that's going to be part of it. It also says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10 that there's rejoicing over one sinner who repents. You know, right now, and I don't think they just sit in there going, yay, sinner.
Golf clap?
Yeah. Sinner repented. You know, there's a grand celebration that takes place. They're already practicing for our homecoming. You know, this is going to be rehearsed. There's going to be a grand rejoicing celebration. And, you know, again, for you to understand how I think and what I think about, these are the things I think about all the time. And when I watch the Olympics, I'm sitting there thinking, God will do a lot better than that. It's going to be a show, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that's the truth. He is the one who has given us that imagination. He is that one who has given us that talent, that capability to create these celebrations. And I think he's kind of laughing right now going, that's cute.
Right.
But just wait. You know, we're going to have a big celebration. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what we just talked about, Bob, you already brought it up, but Revelation 19 and verse 9, it talks about the wedding feast of the Lamb, the supper.
Yeah.
You know, all of this is about all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think God's got the pyrotechnics going on. I think, you know, he has nothing against technology, because it's from the creativity that he's given us that those things flow.
Sure.
And I think he's going to say, you guys were kind of close, mm-hmm. but let me show you a show.
Right. You want to see the real thing?
Yeah. So here we go. So I don't know if all this makes sense, but, you know, what I want to do is reshape our thought process. I want us to think correctly and rightly about what we're anticipating and what's going to take place, you know, and how great a God and an imaginative God we have. It's his imagination. You know, I'm sitting out here looking out your windows. I'm seeing these magnificent mountains.
Mm-hmm.
He created those.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. We talk about that, Bob. You know, he must have the ability to speak, or we wouldn't. We're created in his image.
Right.
So that being said, then he must have the ability to laugh, because we do.
Yeah.
And he must enjoy it, because we do. And does he have, you know... I guess, you know, for, you know, those listeners out there that, you know, maybe this is the hard part, you know, getting your head around. But, you know, when you read in, you know, the first few verses in the Bible, he spoke and it was.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped the sun. He, you know, quote unquote, not quote unquote, he showed Pharaoh. He showed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really, you know, it's really coming to grips with who Dad is. And I think that goes back to Leviticus. I mean, that study mm-hmm. we did, Bob, was mm-hmm. was, you know, very beneficial for me. You know, just understanding just that fact when he kept saying, because I am the Lord God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for I am the Lord your God. It this way.
Right.
And but that's the right thought process, Jamie.
Well, and if we go now, take that leap to what you're saying, it's the same guy that was talking to us that yeah. told us, I stopped the sun, I did this, I parted the Nile, you know, and not bragging, he's not saying that, but he's just saying, look, I did this for you, I gave my one and only son for you, and I have your home prepared for you.
And our future, and, you know, the celebration that's going to take place. So, you know, and you know, I know I've got to cut short tonight, but the next place I want to go with this, you know, one of the things that's there when you go home, you know, in most homes, hopefully, is their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether, you know, whatever your impression is of your parents, or, you know, what that relationship is, you know, it's one of the things that you long for, you know, when you head home is to see your parents.
Sure.
And one of the things that I think should be premier in our thought process as we talk about home and going home and the celebration is that Scripture makes it very clear, and it's one of the things I want to talk about the next time we get together, is but that we are going to see God face to face. And the reason, you know, I want to talk about what does that mean, and, you know, what is Scripture talking about when it says that we will see God face to face. And there's some wonderful scriptures and some wonderful things to talk about there. But I think it's been important that we establish to this point a clear picture of where home is, what home is going to be like, and because, you know, why home? Because, but if we throw the preeminent thing, seeing our Father, our God, there first, then it kind of blurs some of the rest of the picture. So that's why I wanted to do the things that we've done and now start talking about seeing God and being with him and seeing his face and what that means. So that's where I'd like to go next time, and some of the things I'd like to talk about.
I have one last question for the two of you big hitters. Is there golf in heaven?
I would, you know.
I'm not going to hold you to this.
I suppose, but let's... then let's wrap up.
I'll go out on the limb and say yes, Jamie, because I'm not going to stutter around like Bob.
Thank you. My father is sitting here, and so I want to make sure we can get a tea time while we're up.
You'll get
all right.
He might beat you, though.
But
he always does.
To John's point, you know, whenever, for instance, the tabernacle in Exodus and Leviticus is described, or the temple in Kings that Solomon built, it's always with that same idea that John just mentioned. As you approach that, you realize step by step that you're getting closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you're in that final room of the Holy of Holies that, okay, there's God.
Gotcha.
In there. But so it is proper to describe the things around God first. So that's the way he always presents himself. And that has a cleansing effect, and it kind of purifies your heart for that final step up, and then now you're staring in his face. But you're ready to do that, in a sense, because of what you've approached through. So let's say a prayer. Lord, even the way we concluded this evening, we remember distinctly from your own words that we have access to your throne, mm-hmm. to the Holy of Holies, only through the shed blood of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we have that free access now. And that even now, as you reside sovereignly in heaven and over the earth, that is shed abroad into our own hearts through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.